Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Well, today's message, of course, is about a celebration and how Jesus overcame death, how salvation has been offered to each and every one of us. It's a day of life. It's a day of hope. Jesus died and now he lives. So we can live. And that was the purpose of it. So that we could live. Because of this day. If we accept Jesus Christ into our heart and make him our Lord and Savior. If we accept the sacrifice that's been sung about and spoken about. We have freedom and we have life. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we know that immediately, when death does come, that we're in his presence, when we know Jesus. When a physical death comes, it's the end of suffering, if someone is suffering. It's the end of pain. It's the end of rejection. It's the end of temptation. It's the end of disappointment. But have you ever thought of it this way? That, oh death, where's your sting? When finally one day we cross over, everyone in this room, that after that moment, there will be no more death in our life. It's done. It's over. It's gone. And so there will be no more death or disappointment. And it's the beginning of a new existence in the presence and the glory of God for all eternity. Wow. I want to look to two scriptures this morning. They're a little different because I want to help you see, as it helped me see, this great descent that God made from heaven to be a baby, to be a child, and all that he went through on our behalf. And in the book of Daniel, chapter 7, we're going to have it up on the screen if you have your Bible, chapter 7, 13, and 14. Daniel has this amazing vision of the victory of Jesus as he's seated at the right hand of the Father. Because it was a long road for Jesus. And so let's read Daniel 7, 13, and 14. And then we're going to look at Philippians 2. And we're going to look at the difference of these two scriptures. So that it can help you a little bit understand just how far Jesus came. And how far he went. And how humble he was as a king. Verse 13 says, this is the vision of Daniel. I kept looking in the night visions. And behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, the Father of Glory, and was presented before him. He was presented before him, and to him was given dominion. This is the vision of Daniel. For him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and men of every language might serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. This is the result of his resurrection. This is the vision that Daniel saw. God coming into his glory, the Son of Man coming into his glory. And so today even, we celebrate that victory of that vision of Daniel, the victory and the triumph. But let me draw your attention to another scripture. The fact that we could have this understanding that no king ever has humbled themselves like he has. And how beautiful he is. And how loving he is. The humble path that he took. The step from being with the Father because he was in the midst of creation. The staggering step, the staggering descent to come to earth. The Son of God becomes the Son of Man. Look at Philippians chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. For all of us, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And it goes on to say this in verse 9, "For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of God the Father." You look at the difference of those two scriptures. What got me and got my attention was that Jesus was with the Father. And when Jesus came down, he was 9 months in the womb. 9 months in the womb. Jesus had to learn how to talk and speak. Jesus had to learn how to walk. Jesus did not come down here as a humble man and fake it. He had to learn. This is amazing to me that he had to learn. He had to come from that place with God and humbled himself to walk, to talk. Philippians 5:8. Turn to Matthew 28:1-13. We're going to go a little bit into the storyline of the day that the tomb was opened. But after that, I want to take you someplace with me and the Holy Spirit, I believe. And that is why this has all been done. Because of a great love that God has for you and for me. Let's start 28, verse 1. "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came down and rolled the stone away, and he sat on it." I thought that was hilarious. He just sat there. "He sat on it, and his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men," it says. Verse 5, "The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who's been crucified. He's not here, for he has risen just as he said. Come see the place where he's lying.' And it says, 'Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he is coming ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you.' And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy, and they ran to report it to the disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And he said to them, 'As a friend, do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me.'" And look at verse 11. "Now while they were on their way, some of the guards came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, 'You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep.'" And you know what? That's going on today. People are giving large sums of money for people to deny Jesus Christ as the resurrection and the life. It's even happening to this day. So from the day he rose, this has been going on. And many people have a hard time believing in the resurrection. And don't be surprised about that. Because the disciples at the very beginning, they had a hard time too believing. And they had spent a lot of time with him. They didn't know. They forgot about all that he was saying, the persecution, everything that he predicted. Because Jesus predicted it. The suffering, the death, his warnings. But it didn't make sense to them because of all that took place. And their eyes were off the focus of the promise. And really off of him. That he would rise again from the dead. And after the crucifixion, the disciples were heartbroken. They were hopeless and they were helpless at times. They couldn't believe the reports until finally they walked with him. They saw him. And all of you know the story. From that point on, they weren't cowering in fear anymore, but boldly proclaiming the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. From experiencing him and being with him, boldly they begin to walk in that. This is a powerful message, the powerful message of the resurrection. And if we can embrace the fullness of it, it can change our lives. It can change all of our lives in a powerful way because Jesus, as we were saying this morning, is alive. He is alive. All other religions, All other prophets are in a tomb. Jesus resurrected from the dead. Paul said in Romans 8:34, Jesus was raised from the dead, who is at the right hand of God, the Father, who prays and he intercedes even to this day on our behalf. Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Jesus has paid the ultimate price for us, for our sin. The ultimate sacrifice, his blood being shed for us. Every one of us in this room can be forgiven. He appears in the presence of his Father, continually crying out for us. He never stops. He always intercedes. Our sins are not forgiven based on good works. Our sins are forgiven based upon what he did, the atoning sacrifice for all of us. This is a message that you know. This is a message that you've heard. But sometimes we can begin to drift away from the fullness of the impact of what this means. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. At the moment, again, of death, immediately you are in the presence of the Lord. Immediately you're there. Eternal life is everlasting and it goes on and on because of what Jesus has done. And we will all, every one of us in this room, will have resurrected bodies someday. Really? Yes, really. Resurrected bodies like he had. They didn't know who he was sometimes, but the things that he could do, I am believing that you could walk through walls and you could start to break bread and disappear like that with your new body. It's going to look good. It's going to be a good body. I have no doubt. It's going to be awesome. Jesus will transform us from our humble existence into the conformity of his glory. And I say yes to that. How about you? I've shared a little bit, and I wanted to make sure to get that message into you this morning. But I have to conclude with this, because lately I have been undone. You know how you get in those stages where you laugh and you cry almost in the same moment? What is that? I mean, you're just like, oh, Lord. And the next thing you know, you're laughing. Next thing you know, you're crying. Because you're experiencing him. Jesus did everything he did, brothers and sisters, because of love. It was all about love. And it was all about having, listen, a relationship with you. A relationship. I don't ever want to not trumpet that anytime I stand up here, anytime I talk with anyone. Because it is and always will be not so much about your works and all the things you can do. It's good to feed the poor, and those are good things. Nothing wrong with that. But if you don't have him and you end up doing a lot and you don't have him, you've missed so much because he has so much to offer you in his love for you, in a relationship for you. That's what he wants. Think about it. When he resurrected, we were talking about this the other day. I was talking to Scott and Josh at the camp, and we were talking about how he resurrected, and when he resurrected and began to appear to everybody, he never went to the Sadducees or Pharisees. He never went to Pontius Pilate, did he? And we said we would have. We would have walked right up to him and said, hey, what do you think of me now, Pontius Pilate? We would have done that. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He went with his friends. And he had relationship with them. You know the story. One of the times he appears to them is when he's grilling on the beach, I like to put it. He's grilling on the beach and he's messing with the boys because they're fishing again, because they're not feeling very adequate. They don't understand everything that's taking place. So they go fishing and they're all in a boat and they're not catching anything all night long. And then the morning comes up and some guy walks up on the beach, some guy. And he says, hey, you catch anything? No. Well, throw the net on the other side. This seems familiar. This happened about 3 years ago. But we don't recognize him. They throw the net on the other side and boom. They catch fish and they look up and they realize it's him. And what did he do? He grilled for them. He had fish on the fire. He had bread. They hung out. One of the goals in my heart from the beginning of getting saved and beginning to get indoctrinated by religion was to break religion down and realize that Jesus was far more than sometimes this lofty, unreachable Jesus that was stale and ghost-looking, but one who loves me and wants to be with me and talk with me. And that's how I survived in my life, because I communed with him at the beginning. And he's saying, that's why we commune today. And he's saying, commune with me forever. Be with me. Be with me. I want to be with you. Why is he knocking in Revelation 3:20 at the door? Why? Because he wants in. He wants access to you and to me. He wants to be a part. He doesn't want us so stuffy in our mind, all these pretensions or how we think God should work, when he wants to surprise us every day in an intimate relationship with him and do new things. We don't want to leave him standing out in the street, do we? We want to open the door and let him in. And that's what this whole thing is about a relationship. And it's not measured by all the things you do in church or all the meetings you make. What really counts about this relationship is the time you take daily to be with him and with him. Many people are in ministry, in colleges. And if you ask them the question, this question has been asked, when was the last time you heard his voice? They can't remember. God wants you to hear his voice. That's not condemnation. He wants you to hear him. He wants you to experience him. He wants his joy to be flooded out in your life. He doesn't want you worrying about how you're going to do this and do that, or this money or that money, or where you're going to go. He doesn't want you trying to drum up the Spirit. He wants you to be a living vessel that's broken and moving in the love of God. And the presence of God begins to manifest in a conversation, not just up on stage. In a conversation, in a walk, in a talk, at dinner, with your wife, with your kids. He wants to manifest. If the presence of God is only manifesting up here on this stage and not on a walk with your children or a prayer with your children, what do you have? You have nothing. He wants you. He wants you. You don't need me. You don't need all the pastors and all the things to like you. All you need is Jesus. And you got it. That's all you need. We're living in a time of a kingdom age, of a kingdom switch, a kingdom transformation. We're living in a time that old things that we've learned and we try to function in are breaking down, because he wants a new, vital relationship that's fresh each and every day with you. Because he loves you that much. It's all about his love. This whole day is celebrated because of love. This whole day is massive in what it means. He loves you. He loves me. He does not shut us out. He's knocking on the door continuously. Knocking. Jesus did it all for love. He did it for relationships. Let me share this with you real quick. You remember Jesus going to Bethany. You remember Martha and Mary. You remember he's about ready to be going through his crucifixion and be lifted up. But yet he stops everything because this lady, Mary, pours out expensive perfume on his feet. And Judas is wanting to make a deal out of it. And he says, leave her alone. She's doing a beautiful thing. Why? Because he wanted that intimate relationship. He wants that with us. He wanted that with her. Think about in Gethsemane, the day in Gethsemane when he says, hey guys, will you be with me? Will you wait with me a while? Jesus is a God of relationship. And he wants to interact with you. He wants you to stay with him, and he wants to stay with you. He reveals over and over his desire to hang out with us. Jesus wants you to be his friend. He wants you to love him and be loved by him. This is the one who created the mountains, the oceans, and the rivers, that's allowed you to cry and allows you to laugh. He created laughter. This is our God. To enjoy him and begin to cast off the stiffness of religion. And say no. And that doesn't mean that you just go act crazy. And then, because that's almost like a form of religion too. You start acting up, well, I'm free. No, freedom comes from inside. Freedom comes from not responding to offense and trusting Jesus in the midst of it. Freedom comes when you don't have your agenda set in motion. This is how I think it should be. And you get the goods from Jesus. And he speaks to you and you can rest in what he's called you to do and who you are and where to go. And his word is living in your life. It comes from a relationship of intimacy with him, of knowing him, to transform us, to move us. This is a shift. Today, God wants to shift and change our lives. Today, he wants to break down any walls, any barriers in relationships that are keeping us from being close to him. Remember Peter at the Last Supper. And I'm going to close here in a second. But remember Peter at the Last Supper. He told Jesus, "You're not going to wash my feet." Friends, we don't want to tell Jesus what he can and cannot do. Jesus said, "Okay, I won't wash your feet." And then when he told him the alternative, he said, "Wash my whole body, please, anything." So Revelation 3:20, we go back there. Revelation 3:20, he's standing at the door. Even now in this moment, Jesus is asking for access. Access into your heart, into your life. Let him in. Let him in today. I want you to stand, if you would, just for a moment. You know, there's no better time in this moment than to give your life to Jesus Christ. This would be a perfect time on Easter. Every day is a perfect day or time. But this is a moment that you choose, and you're choosing it for yourself. Maybe it's a time for some of you to come home to the heart of God. So there's two prayers that I want to pray, and I kind of want us all to pray them together because I want people to be encouraged. If you have not accepted Jesus into your heart, that today you can do that right now, right where you're standing. And ask him to reveal his heart to you. Also for believers, I'm going to do a second prayer. And for the believers, I want to pray with you to renounce every limit that you have placed on Jesus. To renounce it. And he's going to teach you, through some of us and through the Holy Spirit, how to be intimate with him and close. So if you need Jesus in your life, we're going to pray this first prayer. And I want us to close our eyes and just pray it together. I'm going to say it and then you guys repeat it. Let's just take a moment as you close your eyes and think of him. Think of what he did this day. See if you can see him. If you need Jesus in your life, let's pray this prayer and repeat after me. Jesus, I need you. I need your life and your love. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that your death on the cross was for me, to rescue me from sin and death, and to restore me to the Father. I choose right now to surrender my life to you. I turn from my sin and my self-determination, and I give my life to you. Thank you for loving me and forgiving me. Come and take your rightful place in my heart and in my life. Be my Savior and my Lord. Live in me. Live through me. I am yours, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We thank you so much. Now we're going to just pray this prayer for all those that walk in the ways of the Lord, to renounce any limits that you've placed upon him, any barriers that need to come down. Lord, we do pray this with sincerity. Holy Spirit, seal this in us as those who may be just in the room today were sealed for all eternity with you. So let us pray this prayer. I renounce every limit I have placed on Jesus. I renounce every limit I have placed on him in my life. I break all limitations. I renounce them. I revoke them. Jesus, forgive me for restraining you in my life. I give you full permission to be yourself with me. I ask for you, for the real you. Jesus, come in. I give total access to every aspect of my life. Come into me, Lord, and reveal yourself through me. Amen and amen. May the Lord Jesus shine upon you. May the presence of God go with you. May the genuine of a relationship with him overwhelm you. And may you become lovesick every day of your life to be with him. In Jesus' holy name. This is a good Easter. In Jesus' name.